Take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 20. Our subject this morning, Abraham and Abimelech. Abraham and Abimelech. And in our lesson today, we have three things that we want to share with you in the few moments that we have at this hour together. Genesis chapter 20. And for those of you that have been here for quite a while, we are studying the book of Genesis. We've been in it now for over a year, and we're just down to chapter 20. This is a very important book. Because if you go astray on the book of Genesis, you go astray on the entire Bible. Genesis chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou also slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister, and she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham, and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto us that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me, at every place whither we shall come. Saith me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Our subject this morning, Abraham and Abimelech. Now Abimelech was a Philistine, and Abraham visited him, and we find that Abraham did certain things which resulted in a rebuke from this king. Now our lesson this morning, we're going to fall into three categories. First of all, we're going to look at the inconsistency of the believer. The inconsistency of the believer. You see, we believers are an inconsistent lot. We want to do certain things and we fall far short. We set out to do them and we find out that we lapse back into an old habit once in a while and we have to come out of it again and we're inconsistent and many times we grieve over it and we wonder why we are that way. Well, beloved, don't be too surprised. Secondly, we're going to look at the display of God's sovereign grace, and then thirdly, we're going to see God's instructions regarding redemption. Some of you here are not saved here today, and we're going to show you from the Word of God in this chapter this morning how God instructs you to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back for just a few moments and let's look at the inconsistency of the believer. We see Abraham's lapse concerning Sarah. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now what do we have here? We have Abraham's lapse concerning Sarah. Now what did he do? He did the very same thing he did years before, about 20 years before. proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that a believer may sin, forget about it, be converted, or I should say be converted of it, and forget about it, and then years later fall back into it again, setting forth the inconsistency of the believer. Now, how come this took place? Well, it always happens, and every time a believer lapses, and that's what we call it, when a believer lapses into sin, these three things always take place. So there are really four things, and we need to understand what they are. First of all, Abraham looked at the situation instead of looking at God. Look at verse 11. Here's the reason he did it. Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And here you see Abraham, what was he doing? He was looking at the situation instead of the Lord. Now turn to Matthew, if you will, chapter 14, and I'll show you another man that did the very same thing. Matthew chapter 14, and look with me at verses 22 down through verse 23, and you'll see again a man who did the same thing that Abraham did. He looked at the situation instead of looking at the Lord. In Matthew chapter 14, we find, beginning with verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrains his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to park to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All right, now look at these words. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now you see Peter again? Looking at the situation instead of looking at the Lord. Now, why am I telling you this? I don't know what lies ahead of us this week. Before the week is out, you might be in a real problem. I don't know. God's never promised it's going to be easy. But our Lord has promised us this, that He'll be with us. And when these things come upon us, and they came upon Abraham, and always remember, Abraham was a man of God right here. But we find Abraham did what? He looked at the situation instead of looking at the Lord. Now hold your seat, pay close attention. Do you really honestly believe that Christ is Lord? Now if you do, when these problems come upon you, being your Lord, remember this, He's in charge of it. And remember, He'll see you through. May not happen overnight, but He's going to see you through. And you and I have to understand that. Because if we don't, we'll look at the situation instead of the Lord, and then we'll do the same thing Abraham did. Now what did he do? He lapsed into the same sin that he had committed before. In Genesis chapter 12, you don't have to turn to it because it's the same thing. He came into the kingdom round about him, and they looked at Sarah and saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And they said to him, who is he? He said, she's my sister. So what did they do? They took her to be their wife. And Abraham committed the same sin, and like the commentaries have said, it was probably 20 to 25 years later. Proving this, that a believer will fall in to the same sin that they have committed years before if they look at the situation instead of looking at God. All right, but now there's a third thing we need to look at. Go back to Genesis chapter 20. When a believer does this, and we will, and we do, let's put it right down where we can live, because you and I sin as believers, we better understand that. And if anybody tells you that they haven't sinned, you just tell them point blank, like the scripture says this morning, if a man says that he has no sin, the truth is not in him. A believer knows that he sinned. And a believer knows that he'll lapse into it if God doesn't keep his hand on it. And Abraham looked at the situation instead of looking at the Lord, so he was led into the same sin that he had committed before. And always remember this. Every time he did this, he left himself wide open for a rebuke. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, if some unsaved individual comes up to you sometime and says, hey, what kind of a Christian you think you are when you've done this thing? All right, go back and ask yourself this question. Wait a minute, what did I do? What did I do to leave myself wide open for such a rebuke? And it came from an unsaved man. Notice what Abraham did. We find he had put Abimelech in a situation where God told Abimelech, if you touch that woman, I'll kill you. And Abimelech was filled with fear. And he said unto him in verse 9 these words, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Now, why do we tell you this? Because if a believer is out of fellowship with God, put it down, a believer is an individual that's going to do deeds that shouldn't be done. And we need to understand that. Now, why do we tell you this? So that we can understand these things when they come upon us. You're not going to have an easy life here on this earth as a believer. Face it. You're going to face sickness. You're going to face debt. You're going to face rebuke. You're going to face unemployment. You may face famine. You may face a situation whereby you don't know where the next meal is coming from. All right, but God knows about it. And we have to understand that. And if we look at the situation instead of looking at the Lord like Abraham did, then put it down, we're going to leave ourselves wide open for a rebuke. I'm talking to believers. And let's keep that in mind. Now, the fourth thing about it is this. Behind this was lurking the scenes, lurking behind the scenes, I should say, was the hand of Satan. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles now and go back to Genesis chapter 18. Look with me at verse 9. In Genesis chapter 18, and Abraham is visiting with the Lord, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, hold your seat. All this happened before Abraham's lapse at Gerar. In other words, looking behind Abraham's lapse with regard to Abimelech was the hand of Satan. What was he trying to do? Well, we'll tell you. He was trying to separate Sarah from Abraham, trying to have her to become the wife of Abimelech so that the seed that was promised to Abraham could not be born. Now, beloved, when things happen to us, we always have to look at this question and ask ourselves this thing. Is the devil behind it? What's the purpose of it? Always remember, Satan wants you to be the sorriest kind of a believer you can be and still be saved. And when you and I try to serve the Lord, we're going to face these problems. And if we look at the situation, we'll be led into sin. Then we'll be leaving ourselves wide open for a rebuke, and looking behind the scenes will always be the hand of Satan. Now, Peter tells us something about that, because Peter tells us very clearly in 1 Peter chapter 4, he warns us of these things, because look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and look at verse 12. This is what he says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now look at these words. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. But yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now why is Peter telling us? Because you see, Peter knows the inconsistency of the belief. So do we. As we look at ourselves and see how inconsistent we really are, but how thankful the Lord God of heaven is still with us in spite of our inconsistency. Now go back again to Genesis chapter 20, if you will. And as we look at this, we see the lots of Abraham concerning Sarah, but we also see here the display of God's sovereign grace. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, God's purpose of grace and God's sovereign grace, put it down, will be carried out. Always remember that. God has a purpose for every believer. And God has a purpose here for every individual without Christ. His first purpose for you is to be saved. And I hope that you will be. Don't grow up like so many have done and leave this church after you've grown up under the sound of the gospel. And then when you grow up, you turn your back on it, because I'm going to tell you right now, those that do, their judgment is just as sure as it can be. Now, God has a purpose for everybody here today. And that purpose is this. You and I are to know the Lord, to enjoy Him, and then to glorify Him forever. But here's Abraham. He lapsed into sin. Sarah was taken by him, taken by the king, and the illusion here is that she was more or less taken by force. Because we read very clearly, when Abraham said, "She is my sister," then Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. You see, he just took her. But now here you have God's sovereign grace brought about. Now how do you have it brought about? In the rest of this chapter, we'll look at it for just a moment, because always remember this, grace will not allow God's purpose to be thwarted. Now what are you talking about? The situation is this. Sarah was to be the mother of Isaac, and she was ultimately to be the mother of Christ, because she is. Christ came from her love, that union. And we need to understand that. Now you say, now Pastor, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus was virgin born. That's right. But you take Mary's lineage, and you take Joseph's lineage, and it goes right back to Abraham and Sarah. And the devil, knowing this, he tried to stop it. And God's purpose will not be thwarted or stopped. Sarah was to be the mother of Isaac and of Christ, no matter what the failure of man. Now, believer, that ought to bless your heart. Here you have a servant of God. He's a failure, so to speak, and yet God's purpose will be carried out, because God's purpose is not dependent upon man, whatever. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Again, even though we fail, God will not fail. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, if you will, chapter 46, I should say. Isaiah chapter 46. And we find set forth here God's purpose. Notice it carefully. Here you have the purpose of God, and this is what he said. In Isaiah chapter 46, and verses 9 and 10. God's purpose is not dependent upon man. In verse 9 and 10 of Isaiah 46 we read, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Now what do we have here? Now listen to me. It was the pleasure of God that Sarah was to be the mother of Isaac. And from Isaac and right down that line came the Lord Jesus Christ. Now man's inconsistency threw this thing, you might say, into a real quandary. How in the world could Sarah become the mother of Isaac when at the same time she was in the household of the king of Gerar, she was in his harem, and everybody would have assumed by then that she had had relationship with the king, even though it might have been forced. But God's purpose is still worked out. Notice how it is in Genesis chapter 20. It's not dependent upon man, whatever, because God's purpose of grace will do this. It will hinder and hold back the wrong purpose when necessary. Now look with me, if you will, at verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, Behold, thou art but a jet man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister, and she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now, isn't that something? Here you have God's purpose. You see, God's purpose of grace will not be thwarted. It's not dependent upon man, and God's purpose of grace for Abraham was that Sarah was to be the mother of Isaac, and ultimately, the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's purpose cannot be stopped. All right, the second thing about it is this. When necessary, God's grace and God in grace will hinder and hold back the wrong purpose. Now what did he do? King Abimelech took Sarah and he took her into his home. She became his wife. He took her as part of his harem, and usually in those days, when that would happen, when a man would bring in a young woman to be part of his harem, the first thing he would do, he would go about to take her apart and have a relationship with her. But not in this case. Why not? God's at work. And it sets forth here God's power, God's ability, and God's plan. And we need to recognize that very clearly, that the grace of God will hinder and hold back the purpose when necessary. Again, look with me, if you will, verse 4. But Abimelech had not come nearer. How long she'd been in his harem, we don't know. But he hadn't touched her, which was unusual. And very unusual. But the reason, God was holding her back. Then, look again, verse 6. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. And oh, what a lesson that ought to be for you and me. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? You see a prostitute? You see a drunkard in the gutter? You see a thief in jail? All right, every one of us ought to recognize this. There, but for the grace and power of God, I'd be. You and I have the same potential. We'll no doubt have the same opportunity. But how come we're not? I'll tell you. God's holding us back. And this is known as the restraining grace of God. And God, when necessary, to carry out His purpose, He will hinder and hold back that wrong purpose if it's needed to be. It was the power of God that kept Him from sin. All right? Now what are we saying this for? I want to show you the God that we serve. Turn again to Proverbs chapter 21 and look at verse 1 and listen to what it says. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1 and listen to it. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Now will you listen to me? This is exactly what God did to Abimelech. Now, I don't know whether you understand it or not, but I'm going to tell you point blank. The sex drive is the greatest drive on the face of this earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. When God made you and me, He made us to have sex drive. Now, He made us that way. And it's the strongest drive on the face of the earth. And many times when an individual rapes a woman, it's because he can't control that sex drive. You take a bull, and you watch a bull with a herd of cows. And if any of those cows are ever in heat, I'll tell you right now, it's almost impossible to stop that bull from going after that cow. Why? It's the sex drive. Well, it's the same thing in human beings. And here was Abimelech. Now, I don't understand it no more than you do, but I do know this. That Sarah was 90 years old at that time, or just before 90, and she was a beautiful woman. Now, why? Well, God kept her that way because she was to bring forth a child whose name was to be Isaac. And we find here that this is what God did. He kept this heathen king, who had a harem. He kept this heathen king from laying a solitary hand on Sarah because, you see, God's purpose will be carried out. Now, that's the God we know. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it like the rivers of water. And we need to understand that. And God's purpose will be carried out. And we see also, at the same time, while Abraham was guilty, we see too, that while God's purpose was to be carried out, it was not dependent upon man, and it will hinder and hold back the wrong purpose when necessary, but at the same time, the protection of God was upon Abraham, even though he was guilty of sin. That shows us very clearly that we are kept not by our power, but we are kept by the power of God. Now, how do you know that God's protection was upon Abraham? Well, look with me, if you will, at verse 7 of Genesis chapter 20. Here is God speaking to Abimelech in a dream. Now, hold your seat and pay close attention. It shows you how easy God can bring a fear upon an individual. You ever wake up from having a dream and be wringing what with sweat? Abimelech had this dream, and God spoke to him. And when Abimelech woke up, he was filled with a great fear. Now why? Because the protection of God was on Abraham and upon Sarah. And we need to notice that very carefully. Notice in verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in her ears, and the men were sore afraid. Now what do you have here? God's protection upon Abraham. God was protecting Abraham, even though Abraham had lapsed in the sin. And we need to understand that. We find it was seen by the title given to him. God said he was a prophet of God. In other words, the Lord was telling Abimelech, you touch not mine anointed. That's what he's telling. And are you listening? That's what God says to those round about us. And that's why we can walk down the street without fear of anything. Because we are the prophets of God. We belong to him. If we're saved, we're his prophets because we've been anointed. And as a prophet, we don't speak forth future things. We speak forth the word. And that's why the Lord kept us here on this earth. But we are anointed by God, and God's protection is still upon us. And when need be, God will do this. He will put an unearthly fear in the hearts of those that seek to do that which is wrong, whereby it will harm us. Now, I don't know whether you've experienced it or not, but I have. And I know some of you here have. Right now, my son and I are involved in a lawsuit. A man is suing us because he claims that we cheated him and we didn't. And he's supposed to be a brother, and he instituted a lawsuit, so we had to get a lawyer, and this has taken place in South Carolina. And I'll tell you right now, in the depositions that are being brought out, we've asked the Lord to do one thing. Throw these people that are against us and doing this wrong thing, throw them into confusion, and I'll tell you right now, that's exactly what's happening. Now, how come? God's hand's upon us. And God's hand is upon you. And you don't have to be afraid. But we need to recognize this, that if we look at the problem, instead of looking at the Lord, we're going to lapse into sin. Then we'll leave ourselves wide open for rebuke, and we'll have it coming. But as God's purpose will be carried out concerning Abraham, and it was, so God's purpose will be carried out with regard to you. Now, if there's one thing that stands out in this chapter, it stands out very implicitly, and that is this. God never condemned Abraham. He never condemned him. You know why? When you and I are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which you're in Christ Jesus. Now keep that in mind. You see, when God needs to be, He'll come. He'll come to our aid directly. What a great God we have. And what a privilege it is to know Him. But there's something else here for every sinner. Many of you here have been told and told and told again. I've preached to you for years and I've tried to instruct you how to be saved. Well, in this chapter, you have again God's instruction for you to be converted. Do you want to come to know Christ? All right, then I'm going to tell you, you've got to do the same thing that God told Abimelech to do. Now, what are they? There are five things, and five is the number of grace. First of all, I want you to notice, in Genesis chapter 20, and look with me, if you will, in verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Now what do you have here? Abimelech argued with the Lord, or I should say, remonstrated with the Lord. He didn't argue with him. He said, Lord, I've done this in the integrity of my heart. And the Lord said, I know that. But I want you to notice, God's instructions concerning redemption is this. What is the Lord doing? He warned Abimelech. He said, you touch this woman, you'll die. Now, sinner, God's warning you the same way. If you continue in sin, put it down, you're going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. You're going to die. He warns you, repent or perish. Abimelech was warned by God if he touched Sarah, he were to die. Our Lord today warns the sinner, if he doesn't believe, or repent, I should say, and believe Christ, he also will die. Our Lord still says to every sinner, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And our Lord also tells you very clearly, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides. Or abided on him. Now that's the first thing. Here's God's instruction. The warning by God as to the consequences of sin. Now coupled with that comes the withholding of Abimelech, or the withholding of deeper sin being committed. Now preacher, what in the world are you talking about? In Genesis chapter 20, look with me if you will, in verse 8. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Now here's the second instruction for an individual to be saved. There's the warning of God with regard to the consequences of sin. Secondly, and this is taking place, if the Lord's dealing with you, whatever, there's the withholding of you on your part from committing deeper sin. You know why? Because God's speaking to you. John Bunyan, before he was ever converted, he loved the boat. And he bowled on the lawn. And one day, as he stood there to bowl, he was waiting, he was standing in front of his friends, ready to throw those balls against those pins, you know. And we find he stood up there, and the voice of God said to him, and said, John, will you continue in this and perish forever? And it took such a hold of him that he stood there.
immobile. Until finally, the men round about him said, John, what you waiting for? Throw that ball or get out. You know what he did? He turned right around and dropped that ball and went out, and he never bowled again. God got a hold of him. Now what happened to Abimelech? The same thing took place to Abimelech. God said to him, do not touch this man, or this woman, I should say, that's a man's wife. If you touch her, you're going to die. You and all of you. What did it do? It gripped his heart, and it withheld him from committing a deeper sin, and instead what happened? A fear of God came upon him. And I hope that is happening to every one of you that are here today without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's warning you. At the same time, He's withholding you from going on into deeper sin. And how glad you ought to be. You're stopped by God's power. Now, does God do that to everybody? He does. Let me give you another example. Turn back to Acts chapter 9, if you will, because my time's almost gone. I have to really move along. But in Acts chapter 9, we find very clearly you have the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and what did God do? God stopped him, just like he did Abimelech. Are you listening? Paul never again, he never again took a believer and put him in prison. God withheld him from going into deeper sin, turned him around, and he began to seek the Lord, and that's exactly what the Lord does. Every time he reaches down to save a sinner, he's withholding you from committing deeper sin or going on in spite of what God says. And I hope that's what he's doing to you at this hour. But now go back to Genesis 20 again, and we'll find the third thing. Our Lord's giving instructions on how to be converted. In Genesis chapter 20, we find again, this is what our Lord said with regard to Abimelech. Now look at verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now skip down, if you will, and look at verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored Abraham his wife. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? What did God do here? You know what he tell you? He witnessed Abraham, to witness Abimelech concerning the consequences of sin. He warned him. Then he withheld him from going into deeper sin so that he never touched Sarah. The third thing God did was this. He witnessed to Abimelech regarding God's prophet. Abraham was told to go, Abimelech was told to go to Abraham. Are you listening? You and I, if you're a sinner here today, you are told by God, and I'm telling you right now, under the power of the Lord, that we're telling you very clearly, you are to go to God's prophet. Not Abraham, not Elijah, God's prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to go to Him. All right, now wait a minute. Why, preacher? The same reason that God told Abimelech what to do. He witnessed to Abimelech with regard to God's prophet. He told him to go to Abraham. Then we find, notice what happened in verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. Now what did he do? He went to Abraham. Now what do you have here? Man's responsibility. You are to go to Christ. Christ is the prophet of God. And if he's put a fear in you, whatever, and I hope he has, then you go to Christ. And you go to Christ for assistance. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? Abimelech was told to go to Abraham for assistance. Again, verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Notice that. And now, what do you have here? Abraham, or I should say Abimelech, went to Abraham for the assistance, who was God's prophet. The individual must go to Christ for redemption. Now, you can't come to the church to get saved. You can't come to the baptismal tank to get saved. You've got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done so, I urge you to do it right this at this hour. You go to Christ right there while I'm speaking to you. Tell him what a sinner you are. You know you are. Ask him to intercede in your behalf. Because that's what Abraham did for Abimelech. He interceded in Abimelech's behalf. And when we go to Christ, our Lord takes our sin and intercedes for us before the throne of glory. And I'll tell you right now, my Lord's never lost a case. Last of all, we see this. There's the working of a miracle. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, what do you have here? A working of a miracle in behalf of both. Abimelech received life through the bearing of children. He didn't have any. He wanted some. This came by God intervening. What did he do? He had closed up the wombs of his women. He had closed them up. They could not have any children. And it was a miraculous act of God on the part of Abimelech as it came about by the intercession of Abraham. And we find, in like manner, the Lord God of heaven works a miracle in our hearts. When we go to Christ, who is God's prophet, what does our Lord do? I'll tell you what he does. He puts works a miracle in our life by giving to us what? Eternal life. And that's why John 3:16 is still precious, isn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have eternal life? And our Lord said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, you want to be saved today? You say, yes, preacher, I do. All right, then you go to Christ. Christ is God's prophet. He'll not only pray for you, he'll intercede for you. And when he does, rest assured of one thing. There will be a working of a miracle in your heart because you'll be translated instantaneously from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now take this home with you. First, believers are an inconsistent lot. So if you're a sinner here today, don't you look at any other believer. You're not told to look to believers. You're going to find out they're inconsistent. We are never told to look to believers. We are told to look to Christ. He'll never let you down. Secondly, circumstances will be brought about whereby sin is manifested. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? As one old preacher said a long time ago, he said this, we possess no more religion than that what we have in the time of trouble. Is that true? It is. Isn't it? Then last of all, God's instructions for your redemption have been given to you this morning. Now, the responsibility is on you. As God told Abimelech, he said, you go to Abraham. He didn't tell him to go to anybody else. He said, you go to Abraham, and he shall pray for you. Why? Abraham was God's anointed. You and I are told today to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. Now, hold your sheep. The responsibility was squarely put upon Abimelech. If he hadn't have done what he did, he'd perished. And if you don't go to Christ and seek Him for your own personal salvation, put it down. You will perish. It's your responsibility. How long God gave Abimelech, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this, it didn't take Him very long. How long the Lord God of heaven will give you, I don't know. But I want to say to you very kindly, don't you trifle with God's mercy. If you're here today without Christ at this hour, and some of you are, you go to Christ now, right there. You sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner, and you'll find out that God will work a miracle within you, and you'll know the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. Abimelech was told by God, go to Abraham. We're telling you today, as believers, aren't we? Go to Christ. We can't save you. Abraham couldn't save Abimelech, but Abraham prayed for Abimelech. And when you go to Christ, He's far greater than Abraham. And He can, and He will save you. And you want to know something? He'll not turn you down. Now maybe you don't have the fear. I don't know. Abimelech had a great fear. He knew that he was going to die. And there again is a whole other sermon. I'll save that for some other time. But there's a picture there of Holy Spirit conviction. But you face reality. Some of you here today, if I were to ask you, are you going to heaven or hell? You'd say, I'm going to hell. Well, aren't you afraid of it? Do you want to go there? Well, no, preacher. All right, then go to Christ. He'll not let you down. Let's sing the last stanza. Ah.